hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. Hope you're having a great day so far. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass. And one of my favorite times of the week, Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver and one of the greatest and nicest men I know, joins us now on the program. What's up, Chris?
Man, I am doing good. How much money I owe you? Like $2? I got $5, and they all in quarters. So, man, I appreciate you.
No, you're good.
Appreciate y'all, Santa. How y'all brothers doing, man?
We're doing fantastic. I want to start with a hypothetical or philosophical question when it comes to the offense and with the Titans. Uh-huh. You look at this receiver group, and you know I think there's some talent. Don't get me wrong.
It is, yeah.
But it's not the best receiver group in the league. That's just a fair statement, not a bad statement, but it is what it is.
Yes.
How much can a skilled offensive coordinator like Dable help guys that are not elite of the elite, but to take them to a next level?
I mean, he's got to figure out what guy does whatever he does best. I'm going to give you a perfect example. If you have – you know, Robinson is a slot guy. You have Calvin Ridley that's on the inside, and you have Calvin Ridley on the outside. Just put him in position to be successful. And so you have a lot of talent in the room. You got IU Manor, you got DK, you got guys that can make plays. But just, and I know you hate when I go back to 1999, but we had a lot of guys.
No, I was about to, so don't worry about it.
So in 1999, we had a lot of guys. We had Derek Mason, myself, you had Yancey Thigpen, you had, you know, Isaac Burr. All those guys could make plays. So what Coach Steckel did is he put guys in position to make plays. How you do that? Formation-wise, you know, does he run a comeback better? Does he run a post? Does he run a seam? Does he run choice routes? And put guys in position to be successful. And I think Dayball is going to do a great job by doing that because he has a knack by bringing out talent.
Do you think that Heimerdinger kind of built off of that when he took over in 2000?
Yeah, he did. I mean, we had a lot of talent in that room, but just like what he did is he took a guy like Derek Mason. Derek Mason was already a great receiver, but he put him in position to win. What does Derek Mason do well? He runs the choice routes. He runs the seam routes. He runs the dig, and he put him in position to be successful. So now you got a whole bunch of guys in this receiving room. So as an offensive coordinator, as a wide receiver coach, I got to figure out, okay, what does he do well? What does Calvin do well? What does Alec do well? And figure out and put him in the formation-wise and be well. Just like Robinson, who they just got, you know, signing free agent-wise. What does he do? What does he do well? He's not a big guy, so I'm going to put him in slot in the slot or put him at the Z receiver to where he doesn't have to get pressed at the line of scrimmage. So those are the things that you can do to get better.
Chris Sanders is with us. How you doing, buddy? How's life?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey,
how you doing, man? You good?
Are we in track season now?
Yes, I am. I got the track season starts. Actually, we got a track meet next Tuesday and Wednesday, so it's already started, man.
How does it feel working with the best track coach in America and Jan Pippen?
She's phenomenal. Let me tell you something. Last year we won you know, the state championship, and I'm going to tell you, we didn't have the talent. We didn't have the guys that were fast, but we were family. I know everybody says that we're family. We work together, this and that. But
we
the expectation,
family.
but we didn't have the talent, but we had the depth to come out and win. Because here's the cool part about it is Jan Pippen always talked about pay attention to details, work hard in practice, bring your spikes, and you know, work hard in practice. All these things. So now we have a guy that was a senior last year, and he came to practice every day. He did his spike. He did all the things right. So now it comes down to the 4x4, and if we take second or third, we win the state championship. He takes third, and we win, and that's why they were successful.
You know, I went to high school with Jan, so she's a winner.
She's good.
She's a winner.
She is a boss. Yeah, and she, you know, I think she still has the record at McGavick in the hurdle, so she's a boss.
That's right. Absolutely. Hey, my I've actually got a real question for you once today. When I went from junior college to college, I had learned a lot of good things from my defensive line coach. I go to college.
Sure.
He teaches me things completely different, and it
Absolutely.
Took a while. All right? So now you got these young guys coming in here, even Wandale Robinson. And guys, how long did it take for you to adapt to NFL coaching? Because you had learned a certain way for 3 or 4 years. Now you got to change things. Was it difficult? Was it easy? How did you do it?
It wasn't difficult, but the number one thing you got to do, you may catch 93 balls last year with the Giants, whatever. That's great, but you have to come in here, you have to be coachable. Because the thing about it is you may get another guy that may know a better technique on how to lie with your eyes better, how to burst off the cut, how to, you know, stack them, all those things you need to know as a receiver. So if you can learn any more input or get any more things to develop your skill, then you're going to get better. So as a veteran guy, you have new guys, you have a new coaching staff, you have an offensive coordinator, you have a different wide receiver coach. The one thing to make this thing successful coming in, you have to be coachable and then really take what you learn in drills and apply it to the game. So that's how you get better and that's how you develop.
So do these guys need to forget what they've got to this point?
See, a lot of things are the same. I mean, the route trees are the same. You run a hitch, you run a go, you run a seven. All those things are great, but there's different coaches that do different things and different techniques. Just like when I had Les Steckel as my wide receiver coach, then I had Coach Stock that was in my receiver coach when I was with The Ohio State University. We ran the same routes, but they were taught differently. He taught me things at the top of the route. He taught me things how to lie with my eyes, how to burst off the cut. So it's not that you relearn things. You just take it and get better at it. It's kind of like having a Lamborghini car and putting some rims on it. You just make the car look better, and that's what you do as a wide receiver.
Look at you. How much are rims on a Lamborghini?
A lot. And the Lamborghini's already good, but once you add them tennis shoes, it makes your car better. And that's the same thing with, you know, learning different coaching.
Well, you're going to find me at Budget Break, so that's where I'm going to go for my rims to get over there. Chris Sanders is with us today. Sure. All right, so now, you know, you got these guys, you know, the workout's going to start in a few weeks. Like, what does a Wandale Robinson do? I mean, do you get with Dable? And you've already been with, you know, the system, but,
yeah.
I mean, do you work out with Cam now? I mean, yeah. Do you have a text exchange with Cam? How's this working?
1,000%. See, the thing that you want to do is be like, okay, I'm on the team, and I know I'm going to make the team, so I don't need to come in and do some stuff. It's not just about lifting weights. It's not just about, you know, going out there and practice. It's about building a relationship with your quarterback, building a relationship with Calvin Ridley and Alec Iomanner and DK, build a relationship with them, because, you know, if you look at some of the successful teams that won Super Bowls, it's because they have camaraderie. So even though, you know, you establish yourself with the Giants and you caught 93, 94, 95 balls, whatever, but you still have to build a relationship with your quarterback, your tight end, your receivers, and that's how you win. So, you know, that's how you had to do in that situation.
So now that you've kind of seen free agency and all that play out, where are you with the pick at 4? Have you changed your mind on that at all?
No, I'm going with Jeremiah Love. But now if Arvell Reese is there, then I'm going to take him because he's a monster. But you have to have a situation to where you get a guy like Jeremiah Love. I'm not saying Pollard can't do it. I'm not saying that. But you want a home run hitter that takes the pressure off your quarterback. Because if you look at, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, look at what they did this year. Okay, we got Holmes is coming off an injury. So what do? We go and get, you know, the MVP of the Super Bowl is Walker. They're running game because you can pass the ball great during the season, but when you start getting to December and January, you have to run the football. And I think for Jeremiah Love with this Tennessee Titans team to take the pressure off your quarterback, you have to run the football.
So let's just say for a second, they take Love at 4.
Sure.
Tony Pollard could easily look at that and want to trade or want to be released or that. Could it also be the opposite? And it's like, all right, you want to bring this young kid in? Let me show you what old man still can do.
You know, I always say this term is you got two choices to get better. Yes. And I'll never forget when they brought Yancey Thigpen in, they drafted Kevin Dyson. I went from first to third like, man, hey, I made the all-rook. Hey, I can play this game still. So instead of me getting mad and get mad and get the coaches and get mad and at the organization, so what I did is I said this, and I said it to myself, I'm not going against him. I'm going to play so well that they have to play me and put me back in the starting rotation. So this is going to light a fire up in Pollard. Because, like, wait a minute, hold on. I got 1,000 yards this year. I'm averaging 4.2 yards a rush, and I still got 1,000 yards. So don't forget about me. So that's going to push Jeremiah Love, and it's going to help Pollard say, you know what, I'm still here.
Hey, let me ask a question. When you were playing, did you ever get into it with an opposing coach?
Oh, yes, I did. And oh, my God.
Let us know. I got to know this.
I was a rookie, and we were playing the Minnesota Vikings, and this is bad. This is when I was a knucklehead, and I caught the ball, and the coach was like, you're out of bounds. And this is sad. I threw the ball at him, and I started cussing him out. That's why I didn't want to say it. This is when I was a knucklehead, and I was just full of myself, and I was just this wasn't a good dude. I threw the ball. I said, you sorry. I said, that's why you're belly fat, and you look like – I mean, just – I'm like, wait a minute. Why am I cussing at him? He can't help me on the field. So – I did yell at the opposing coach, and it was from the Minnesota Vikings.
What do you do now? I mean, you've been coaching now for 20-plus years. If your player does that and you find out about it, what do you do?
He's going to get jacked up, period. Because the thing about it is, if you score a touchdown and you're yelling at the coach, and because that's a reflection of the coach. And I tell my receivers, I say, listen, if you go out there and make plays and you do great things, this and that, but your attitude sucks, then your life's going to smell. I don't want that. I want you to be a great man on the field. I want you to be great off the field. Yes, you're going to make mistakes, but we're not going to catch a football and mock another coach, because that's not what we represent. We say that all the time until we get in the heat of battle. But I will jack your behind up. I will grab you by your shoulder pads. I will grab you by your face mask.
Yes.
And I will tell you to say, sit next to me, because that ain't what we do.
Oh, I love that. Let me ask you this. What happens when you're at NBA and you get a knock on your door and you look up and it's a guy that played for you 7 years ago?
Oh, my God.
Who comes by to say hi to you?
Man, I love it. Can I get that story that I talked about last year or last week? I remember it was a guy named Sam Banks. And this is what I talk about being in a relationship with your players. Is I remember we lost in the playoff game. And I hugged him. I said, man, why are you crying for? I said, you came. Look at how far you come. You got kicked out of Innsworth, and you came here. You graduated from Montgomery Bett Academy. And I hugged him. I said, you did everything right. And he hugged me. He said, coach, I'm not crying because we lost. He says, I'm crying because you can't coach me anymore. That's what it's all about.
Right,
yeah.
It's all about. So when they knock on the door and say, coach, you know, thanks for coaching me, that's the reason why I love the coaching. Yeah, I want a ring. Yes, I want to win a Super Bowl. All those things are great, because rings will rust, but relationships last forever.
Look at you.
I
know we talk about this all the time, but what's the one thing you want a guy who plays for you, who's moved on, what's the one thing you want them to take with them from you?
It doesn't matter how you start, but it's how you finish. Because a lot of times, you know, because in my life, I'm just going to be vulnerable. I made a lot of mistakes in life. I made some bad choices, and I want to take with them that, listen, it doesn't matter how you start in life. It all depends on where you finish at. And this is a quote that I use all the time. It says, the race is not given to the swift. It's the one that endures to the end. So the kids that I coach, that even though it may get tough and even though you may fall, you get up and win the race. Why? Because the race is not given to the swift. It's given to the one that endures.
Oh, I love that. Before you go, real quick, there was a thing last week on TV about Charles Barkley talking about Tom Izzo screaming and yelling at players and getting in their face. And Barkley's like, good. They need that. I know you just mentioned, I know there's a level now. It's not the same. You got to, but I think if we stop coaching kids hard and getting in their face, I think that's a problem.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing is if you're coaching them hard to get better, or are you coaching these guys and put fear in them? There's a difference. Now, I'm going to tell you this. When I'm coaching football, I'm the loudest dude out there.
Right.
I'm getting in their face. But my message is, I'm expecting you to be great. I'm not going to cuss you out. I'm not going to talk about your mom. I'm not going to do that, because I'm not a dictator. I'm a coach. A coach coaches you up. He demands you to be respected. I'm not talking about, hey, little Johnny, I love you. How can I count the ways? You're going to be great. No. I'm like, dude, I need you to run this route. I need you to be great. I need you to block the safety. Why? Because I know it's in you. See, my voice is still loud, but my message is different.
Yeah. As a coach told me one time, he said, the day I stop yelling at you is the day you need to worry. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, got it.
Yeah. But see, we got a generation to where, like, you know, everybody wants to give into them. Nobody's going to give you anything. I'm gonna develop you to a great wide receiver, but I'm gonna pull out greatness in you to where you change the world. That's why I coach.
Amen, brother. That's why we love you, man.
I love y'all too, man. I love this set. Y'all just bring the best out of me. Oh, my gosh. I love y'all.
We love you too, Chris, and we appreciate you joining us here each week and on the show. And
it's an honor.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank y'all so much.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Okay, Chris Sanders joining us on the program, as he does every Friday at 1 o'clock.
By the way, I played a softball game with him, and he hit a dribbler into the outfield and scored inside the park homer. I would have maybe gotten halfway between first and second. He scored. So when he tells you he's not fast anymore, he's forever fast.
Oh, he is. We'll have more coming next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni, 102.5 The Game.